Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are getting into the pretty unbelievable career path of one of modern music's biggest stars, Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy born Jason DeFord who has just completely ignored the traditional walls between genres. He's famous for blending country, rock, and some really gritty hip hop.
And sometimes all in one album or even one song.
Exactly. But, you know, the music is really only half the story here. Our sources, they paint this picture of just a truly dramatic rise.
It really is. A journey that starts in some very dark places, legal trouble, addiction, and somehow ends in massive mainstream success.
He went from the juvenile detention system to selling out arenas. It's a lot to unpack. The sources even call him a big man and a big star.
And that phrase, it just perfectly captures the scale of it all, right? The size of his success, the complexity of the person. Our mission in this deep dive is really to dissect that journey. We're going to trace his path right from Nashville and look at how these deep personal struggles, they didn't just become song lyrics. They became the actual foundation of his entire creative empire.
Okay, let's unpack this. So we have to start with those foundational struggles because they weren't your typical, struggling artist story.
No, not at all. He grew up in Nashville, started rapping as a teenager, but his early life was, it was defined by chaos.
Yeah, the legal history is the first thing that it jumps right out at you.
It's staggering. We're talking about really serious life-altering challenges. He had struggles with weight, with drug dealing, and then at 16, he was charged with aggravated robbery.
16? I mean, that's not a minor thing. That could have put him away for decades.
Exactly. And the power of that early music is that it was a direct reflection of that reality. It wasn't a character he was playing. It was documentation.
Right.
And what's fascinating here is how quickly he used the internet to just bypass all the usual gatekeepers. He took that raw, immediate pain and danger and just uploaded it.
To YouTube, SoundCloud.
Yeah, he got digital distribution years before the rest of the industry really caught on.
And that digital hustle, it led to something huge right away. That viral hit, Pop Another Pill, with Memphis rapper Lil White.
That thing just exploded. I think it hit, 6.8 million YouTube views, and it felt like it happened overnight.
And if you listen to that track and others from that time, the subject matter is just, it's so raw.
Unflinching. They're gritty, street-level songs about addiction, personal demons. Not exactly the polished sound we might hear from him today.
So why do you think that specific kind of rawness connected so deeply, so fast? A lot of artists sing about struggle.
I think it was the vulnerability. It was just so palpable. The lyrics, they weren't filtered. They weren't manufactured for an audience. They came from this place of, intense, lived-in experience.
So the fans who related to it, they felt like it was true.
Completely. They saw that transparency as absolute truth. I mean, he said in an interview, "Dude, I don't remember years," because of his past substance struggles.
Wow.
That kind of brutal honesty, admitting not just the mistakes, but the actual toll they took. It's rare. Cool. And it creates a really powerful, instantaneous connection.
So that connection, built in those early dark days, that gave him his base. But then he had to expand his reach, which brings us to how he used collaboration to build more visibility.
Yeah, strategy is absolutely the right word. His digital popularity gave him something to trade with, And he started connecting with artists who had a similar vibe, but different audiences.
The first really big one was his partnership with Struggle Jennings.
That collaboration was so key. They're both from Nashville. They share that similar background, the similar struggles. It just worked.
It made the music feel more authentic.
It did. Their hit Dead Man Walking is a perfect example of that. It's just full of this raw emotion, and the lyrics are all about the shared experiences. It felt like two storytellers who really understood the cost of that life.
And that really broadened his audience. But he didn't just stick with similar artists, did he?
No, and that was the smart move. He branched out. The source material points to collaborations with guys like Tech N9 and Yellow Wolf.
Who both have huge, dedicated followings.
Exactly. And those collaborations were vital because they let him reach audiences who were already into that Southern hip-hop and rock blend. Tech N9 especially has this massive underground army of fans.
So by working with them, he was basically introduced to a whole new demographic who was already open to his sound.
It was a perfectly calculated move. It solidified his place in that hybrid subgenre, and honestly, it made him too big for the mainstream to keep ignoring.
And all that groundwork in the rap rock world, it just set the stage for this massive pivot. Here's where it gets really interesting, because he took all that success, and then he took a huge risk and started leaning into his singing voice.
A decisive pivot. And it really came to a head in 2020 with that EP, Self-Medicated. But what's key here is how vulnerable he was about that shift. He knew it was a risk.
I remember he talked to Billboard about it, about how nerve-wracking it was to just put his voice out there as a singer.
He did. He said, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, but it's the first where I'm leaning into nothing but singing. And I was scared. He even said he was still uncomfortable with his voice.
But then he said, "Save Me" was the breakthrough.
Right. He said, because people could really hear my voice and pain, and I sang from a lifetime of hurt. That self-awareness is incredible. He knew his singing wasn't technically perfect, but that it could carry his pain in a way rapping couldn't.
And Save Me became the song that defined that new era,
yes.
Especially the version with Lainey Wilson.
A huge country star. And the themes just got so much more personal, so much more about redemption.
It's a raw look at addiction, at searching for peace.
Yeah.
It's not just describing the problem anymore. It's about asking for help, wanting to change.
It really is a key moment. It shows his story had evolved from just surviving the struggle to this narrative of, well, profound transformation.
And that painful openness, that became the core ingredient for his debut album in 2021, Collecting Dust.
This is where that genre blend really solidified into the hit-making formula we recognize now.
And the defining song from that album has to be Son of a Sinner.
Without a doubt. That track is just a masterclass in blending. It has the gritty storytelling of his hip-hop roots, but it's built on a country music framework. And it just resonated across the board.
The message in that song, it feels like the emotional flip side of those early, dark tracks. It's a story about redemption, about self-acceptance.
Well, without erasing the past, that's the key.
Right. It's about the journey. And listeners found it incredibly inspiring. That song really cemented his transition and opened the door to much, much bigger things.
It did. But, you know, as his profile got bigger, so did the scrutiny. And we do have to talk about the friction that comes with that kind of public transformation.
That's the paradox of redemption, isn't it? You make it out of the struggle, you find success, and then some people question if you still have the right to sing about it.
That's exactly it. Some critics have asked whether he still truly represents that lifestyle now that he's famous and financially stable. The idea being that success maybe dulls the edge of his authenticity.
So how does he respond to that? Because his defense seems to be pretty consistent.
It's always rooted in transparency. He argues his music is just about sharing his journey, not pretending he's still living in that past. He's very open about maintaining his mental health now, you know, despite the pressures of fame.
And for his fans, that honesty is the whole point.
It is. For many of them, his refusal to sanitize his history, including the serious stuff like that aggravated robbery charge, is what makes him so admirable. They see him using his platform for good.
Which brings us to the lasting impact he's having. By being so open about mental health and addiction, he's doing more than just selling music.
He's fostering awareness. He's encouraging people to seek help, to talk about their own challenges. He's navigating that dual challenge of being a public figure while trying to, as he says, stand your ground and stay healthy.
It's an incredible amount of pressure.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, his sense of purpose really goes beyond the music itself.
You mean his philanthropic work? Giving back to Nashville?
Precisely. His success has translated directly into giving back. He set up a music studio at a juvenile detention center in Nashville.
So he's literally going back to the type of place that once held him. But now he's offering a way out.
It's incredibly powerful. His whole story is this testament to resilience. It proves that real success comes from talent, sure, but also from relentless authenticity and just plain hard work. He turned immense adversity into inspiration.
So what does this all mean? The main takeaway for you, the listener, is that Jelly Roll's career is really a blueprint for radical transformation. He took these life-threatening personal struggles and turned them into this relatable, genre-bending music that just speaks to millions.
He really did achieve something profound. Mm-hmm. By sharing those painful experiences and just completely avoiding the typical industry mold, he created this deep, visceral connection.
Yeah.
When you listen to him, you're not just listening to a celebrity, you're listening to a survivor. He makes his audience feel seen and heard in a way very few artists ever manage.
His ability to turn his lowest points into sources of connection is just, it's unmatched. So since the sources highlight that music can offer hope and healing, we want to leave you with a provocative thought. Considering his unique background, the criminal past, the addiction, which of his songs holds the most powerful message about redemption? Is it one focused on the raw pain of his past, or one celebrating that hard-won self-acceptance? Think about how those two sides of his life, the struggle and the stardom, play off each other in his music.